Warren Buffett said, "I'll tell you the secret to getting rich on Wall Street. You try to be greedy when others are fearful, and you try to be fearful when others are greedy." Now, I'm not going to spend the time tonight talking about greed, but one thing I want you to notice is Warren Buffett is one of the most successful people on Wall Street. So his advice is probably pretty spot on. When he says something like, "I will tell you the secret of getting rich," well, people listen because of who he is. You know, people, we don't just listen to anybody when they say, "Hey, let me tell you the secret of getting rich." Like if little Xander tried to give me investing advice, I don't know, I'd probably take that with a grain of salt. But Warren Buffett, well, people will listen to his advice. And it's because people like money. I mean, that's just generally true. It may not be true of everyone, but in general, people want money. I mean, money is just a huge deal in our society. When the economy is doing well and money is moving, well, people are happy about that. Not many people are upset. Conversely, when the economy is not doing well, people are upset. Money's a big deal in our society. So why people don't like paying taxes, right? We don't like giving a percent of the money that we work for to the government, because money is a big deal in our society. This is why people will lie, they will cheat, they will steal, and they will kill for money. It's a big deal, and it's something that most of us have. You know, we live in a very blessed country, and even the poorest among us have something, usually. It's something that most, if not all of us, have. And because of this, There comes a time in every Christian's life where wealth intersects with kingdom. And when that happens, there are a number of choices that we can make. And those choices, that decision that we make at that intersection is important because it has eternal implications. If we make the wrong choice, it can set us down the wrong path that we may never recover from. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to be in Luke's books. We're going to be in the book of Luke. We're going to be in the book of Acts, just because of Luke's personality as a writer, as a gospel writer. More than any of the other gospel writers, Luke, he focuses on the weak and the poor in society and how we should treat them. I mean, this is evident early on in Luke. Go ahead and open up your Bible to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, this is when John the Baptist is teaching. Luke chapter 3, we're going to start reading from verse 7. It says, "So he began saying to the crowds who were going out to be baptized by him, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you, from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees, so every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire.' And the crowds were questioning him, saying, 'Then what shall we do?' And he would answer and say to them, 'The man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and he who has food is to do likewise.' And some tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, 'Teacher, what shall we do?' And he said to them, 'Collect no more than what you have been ordered to.' Some soldiers who were questioning him, saying, 'And what about us? What shall we do?' And he said to them, 'Do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages.'" Here, John is giving them teachings on how to deal with the poor or with the weak of society, and this theme just continues throughout Luke. I mean, in Luke, you have the parable of the Good Samaritan, you have the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and that just continues. So naturally, Luke and Acts, those are the books we're gonna spend our time in tonight as we study this lesson on the intersection of wealth and kingdom. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look in those books. I don't have PowerPoints. So I'm going to explain to it before. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to look in those books and look at examples of people, or look at stories in those books of people who came to that intersection of wealth and kingdom. And we're going to look at the choices they made, and we're going to evaluate those choices and see if they were good choices or bad choices, and hopefully we'll learn from that. First example is in Acts chapter 5. Let's go there. Acts chapter 5. In this context, we see the story of Ananias and Sapphira. We'll start reading from verse 1. It says, "But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard of it. The young men got up and covered him, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard these things. So if you've been studying Acts in maybe your daily Bible reading or what have you, you know up to this point, the church has really been progressing. There's been good work in the kingdom done, and this story of deception sort of interrupts that progress. Kind of like you see with Achan back in the book of Joshua. There's so much progress, and then this story of deception sort of breaks that progress. And when Ananias and Sapphira, whenever they came to this intersection between their wealth and kingdom, what did they choose? Well, they chose dishonesty. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be a part of God's people, and they chose to lie to him. That's point number one. That's one of the choices that we could make at the intersection between wealth and kingdom. It's dishonesty, like Ananias and Sapphira. You see, they wanted the credit, and they wanted the prestige of being generous Christians, but they didn't want the inconveniences of it. See, they didn't really care about the poor. They didn't really care about being generous. They only cared about their ego. And Peter tells us that by showing that dishonesty, they allowed Satan to deceive them. Satan is the one who deceived them to thinking, well, we can have all the credit of being God's people, but none of the inconveniences of it. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to make sure that we are different. We've got to make sure that we're honest people, because there are so many ways that we can just be dishonest with regards to wealth. I remember when I was working as a server. As a server, you make about $2 an hour. By the way, tip your server. I have to plug that in there. Tip your servers. We make about $2 an hour. We don't make very much. So my checks are usually, I don't know, $10 to $20 every 2 weeks or so. But after a certain time, I'd been working there at this particular place for, 3 years or so. I noticed that my checks were like $300 each paycheck. And I didn't really say anything for a little while. For a couple of months, I would tell myself, oh, you know what, that's just their fault. They'll deal with that. It's not my problem. But then I would read stories like this, stories like Ananias and Sapphira. And I realize I've got to be honest. I need to tell my boss. And that's what I did. I told my boss that they were paying me too much. He actually told me that I would have to pay all that back, but he didn't make me. I guess it's because of the honesty, so I did appreciate that. So we've got to be honest when wealth intersects kingdom. But notice with me that this lesson extends beyond just the material. This lesson extends beyond just the possessions and the wealth that we have. You know, some people in the kingdom of God want all the credit and prestige of being Christians without the inconveniences. They'll come to the building on Sunday and Wednesday and worship with all of us. But once they leave the building, you would never tell that they were a child of God by their speech, by the worldly people that they hang around, by the evil garbage that they fill their minds with on the screens. You see, they want the credit and prestige. They want to look like Christians. But they don't want any of the inconveniences of being a child of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say that that is not discipleship. When we come to the intersection of wealth and kingdom, or whenever we come to the intersection of self and kingdom, we've got to be honest people. That's the first example. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we'll start reading from verse 18. In this context, we see the story of the rich young ruler. In verse 18, or chapter 18, starting in verse 18, it says, "A ruler questioned him, questioned Jesus, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother.' And he said, 'All these things I have kept from my youth.' When Jesus heard this, he said to him, 'One thing you lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, 'How hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God?'" Now, whenever you start reading the story of the rich young ruler, from the beginning, it seems like this man really wants to follow God. When Jesus says, you know, keep the commandments, he says, "I've kept the commandments." But God really shows him that he's not truly keeping the commandments. As a matter of fact, whenever we read this, sometimes we might get uncomfortable because what Jesus says in these verses can seem pretty radical, right? Jesus says, if you want to be a part of the kingdom, sell everything that you have. That's a pretty radical statement, and that can make some people uncomfortable, but Jesus is doing something intentional. This man thinks he's kept the whole law. But Jesus is opening his eyes. Jesus is exposing him to the fact that he really hasn't kept the law. If he had truly kept the law, then he would have understood that he needed to help the poor. If he had truly kept the law, then he would show love and trust in God and humbly rely on him. You see, he was relying on his wealth. He didn't want to rely on God. See, we need to make sure that we are not stingy with our wealth like this man was. And that's the second point. What are some choices we can make at the intersection between wealth and kingdom? We can choose to be dishonest. But number two, we can also choose to show stinginess. We need to make sure we're not stingy with our wealth like he was. And this is the point of the next couple of verses. This is the point of the next couple of verses. Because we've got to rely on God rather than wealth. Let's start in verse 24. And Jesus looked and said, "How hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They who heard it said, 'Then who can be saved?' But he said, 'The things that are impossible with people are possible with God.'" Let me read that again. "The things that are impossible with people are possible with God." See, what Jesus is saying here is this man's wealth was not going to get him into the kingdom. That's impossible. It's like trying to force a camel through the eye of the needle. Wealth won't get you there, but you know what will? Well, God will. God will. We need to make sure we rely on God rather than our wealth. And like the previous point, This extends beyond the material. It extends beyond our physical possessions or our physical wealth. You know, some people just don't want to change for God. That was the rich young ruler's problem. He didn't want to change for God. He obeyed the stuff that cost him nothing. You know, some people would follow God if they never had to change anything in their lives. That's not what Christianity is about. When we become Christians, we're choosing to give up the old for the new, right? That's what Romans says. Let's read that. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, starting verse 1. Paul is writing, he says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin." When we become members of the kingdom, well, that calls for change. We can't be stingy with ourselves, and we can't be stingy with our wealth. See, when our wealth and our lives intersect the kingdom, we've got to make sure that we're not stingy. I've got one more example. Just one chapter over in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. In this context, we see the story of Zacchaeus. Y'all know there's a famous song about him, the Wee Little Man song. I'm not going to sing that, though. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1, says, "He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for today I must stay at your house.' And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, 'He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.' Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost.'" Like the previous example of the rich young ruler, in this example of Zacchaeus, we see another person who wants to be a child of God. And when Zacchaeus comes to this intersection between wealth and kingdom, well, he chooses generosity. And this is radically different from the story that we just read in Luke chapter 18. As a matter of fact, I believe this story is in the same context for a reason. Just think about it. The so-called the moral man in Luke chapter 18, the rich young ruler who had kept all of the commands, he's the one who left God. But the sinner, the immoral man, Zacchaeus, he's the one who changed and gave up everything for the Lord. This story shows how someone should respond to Jesus. You see, he doesn't try and choose his wealth over Christ, and he doesn't try to avoid the inconveniences of being a disciple. Zacchaeus is the man who, with God's help, walks through the eye of that needle. Now, we mentioned earlier, we can't force our way into the kingdom with our wealth. And Zacchaeus wasn't relying on his wealth. He was relying on God to walk him through the needle. And we need to be like Zacchaeus. He's got it right. We need to be the type of people who are willing to part with our wealth because we trust in God. And this may mean, you know, I don't accept the promotion that's going to harm me spiritually, or I don't take the new job because of the spiritual repercussions, or I don't want to leave my family. This may mean that we give more to the poor because we understand that they're the ones who truly need it. We need to be like Zacchaeus. When our wealth intersects kingdom, we've got to be generous. Well, as with the other points, this point extends beyond the material. It extends beyond our wealth and the things that we have. We need to be the type of people who are willing to give up our lives for Christ. That means I've got to give up friendships with certain people or certain hobbies, and I need to do that. This means that I need to make some family members uncomfortable during the holidays in order to teach the truth. Then I need to do that. We can't be the type of Christians who avoid the inconveniences of the kingdom. We've got to be the type of Christian who, with God's help, can walk through the eye of the needle, the type of Christian who trusts in God. See, like Zacchaeus, when our wealth intersects and ourself intersects kingdom, we need to be generous. We need to be willing to give all of that up for God. You know, if you just read through Luke, one thing you'll leave understanding is that our wealth won't get us to heaven. Only God can do that. So we need to focus less on wealth, focus more on being the type of people that God wants us to be. You know, if we all became as rich as Warren Buffett, I think that'd be pretty cool. But you know what'd be better? If we were all the type of people who could be led through the needle by our Lord. Well, maybe there's someone here tonight who wants God to lead him. Maybe there's someone here tonight who wants to become a child of God. Well, you could do that tonight. Or maybe there's someone else who has been living the life as a Christian in name only. They've been avoiding the inconveniences, refusing to change. You can fix that also. If you need prayers, we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Whatever you need, you can come now as we stand and as we sing.